Hey, welcome to another Entrepreneur Note. In this one, I'll be covering the book Propaganda by Edward Bernays. And here's the top quote from the book. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. End quote. This book, Propaganda, is about how people work. It's about how to influence people. It's about how to control the way the public sees a business, group, or idea. And when you understand propaganda, then you'll be less affected by it. You'll also understand how democracy works more deeply, and you'll be able to use these techniques to spread your own ideas and to create a business reputation that attracts more customers. Back in 1928, when this book was written, most people didn't understand human psychology at all. One man who did was Sigmund Freud, who was basically the creator of modern psychology. You've probably heard his name before because he was an intellectual giant. His theories of people's deepest motivations, fears, and desires changed the world and still echo today. And guess what? Sigmund Freud's nephew was Edward Bernays, the author of this book. He took his uncle Freud's, deep understanding of human nature and used it in a practical way. Bernays is the father of public relations. Public relations, or PR, is about creating understanding between the public and an idea, group, or business. Today, we all know that most large companies have a PR department to control how the public sees them. We all know that politicians fight a war of propaganda with every election. And in this note, you will learn some of the hidden secrets to creating both effective propaganda and public relations. Now let's jump into the first great idea. Number one, if human reactions can be predicted, they can be manipulated. When you hear the word propaganda, what do you imagine? I bet you think of World War II and the posters that were used to spread evil ideas. The Nazis in Germany wanted to spread the idea that Jewish people were inferior and parasites on society, so they painted posters that portrayed Jewish people as sneaky, rat-like, or pale, fat bankers. Other posters showed an ideal person in the eyes of the Nazis, which is someone with blonde hair and blue eyes who is vibrant, strong, and healthy. Ironically, this was an ideal that Hitler himself, with black hair and brown eyes, never lived up to. And it wasn't just the Nazis who used propaganda. Across the sea, American posters were being painted too. These posters sparked patriotic emotions inside American hearts and created hatred of the enemy. They painted images of good versus evil, black versus white, with America as good. For example, one poster shows an American eagle attacking a snake, which represents Japan. Other posters challenge people to sign up to the army if they are a real American or a real man. Other posters encourage people to borrow money to the government through bonds to help win the war. And by the way, if you want to see a few examples of these propaganda posters, then go to entrepreneurnotes.com/propaganda. And I included some images with the written summary. Edward Bernays defines propaganda as an organized effort to create understanding between the public and some business idea or group. Propaganda is about creating images in the minds of millions of people at the same time. And to do that, first you must understand how people work. People's emotional reactions are often predictable. So if you put the right stimulus in front of millions of people, most of them will have the same reaction. We first really understood this during World War II. And after the war was over, some people at the top realized they could continue to use similar techniques even during peacetime to influence the masses. And here's one simple example of what I mean. People are disgusted by rats and bugs. They always have been, and they probably always will be. So if you use images of rats or bugs in your propaganda, you can make someone feel disgust. Then you associate those images and emotions with a group like Jewish people, and you can make people feel disgusted about Jewish people. This is something the Nazis did very effectively. When Hitler was talking about Jewish people, he always used words related to germs, bugs, pests, and parasites. Something you have to exterminate, or it'll crawl all over your skin and infect you from the inside. Another example, people are naturally scared of snakes, which is why snakes are used so often to represent the enemy. In the first chapter of the Bible, the ultimate enemy, Satan, shows up as a snake. That's no accident. People have a deep, instinctual fear of snakes. The lesson is clear. If you want to produce a mass reaction in people's minds, then you must take advantage of their existing emotional habits and mental cliches. If you want people to see someone as powerful, strong, and visionary, then take a symbol people already associate with those qualities, like an eagle or a lion, and paint that beside your person. Okay, and now let's switch gears and go to the second great idea, which is the invisible government. Here's a quote that might shock you. Quote, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country." End quote. Democracy is a strange new invention. Think about it. Anybody and everybody decides how the country is run. We don't have committees of experts deciding how to steer the economy, for example. It's the people who decide which general direction it goes. And does the average person have time to really study economic, political, and ethical issues in depth? Probably not. So how do they decide who to vote for? Well, here's another quote. "We have voluntarily agreed to let an invisible government sift the data and high spot the outstanding issue so that our field of choice shall be narrowed to practical proportions." End quote. This means every country is a machine that is too complicated for the average person to truly understand. Even experts can't understand it. So we need someone else to highlight the most important issues for us, and this makes the voting decision much easier. Every election is a free and open competition of ideas, and this means the real people in power are those who know how to get public acceptance for their ideas. The ideas might be less taxes, more education funding, or anything else. The invisible government convinces people which ideas are good and which ones are bad. And while we're talking about democracy, let's talk about propaganda for social progress. In this book, Bernays tries to make it clear that propaganda is not just evil brainwashing. Almost any movement for social progress and good attempts to educate or enlighten the public mind, which requires a type of propaganda. For example, when you're educating kids about healthy eating, that's propaganda. When you're trying to make the public more aware and accepting of mental health issues, that's propaganda. And long before women actually received the right to vote, people had to work to make the idea acceptable. Here's another quote. "Propaganda becomes vicious and reprehensive only when its authors consciously and deliberately disseminate what they know to be lies, or when they aim at effects which they know to be prejudicial to the common good." End quote. And now this brings us to great idea number three, the birth of public relations. Edward Bernays realized the same propaganda techniques used by governments could also be used by businesses. He knew that a business with a good public image will be more successful, and he created the term public relations because the word propaganda is really too negative. public relations has grown because life is more and more complex. When you walk in the store today to buy toothpaste, you have dozens of choices. How do you know which one is good? That's where propaganda can help. Again, by propaganda, we mean creating understanding between the public and some idea, group, or business. So, for example, a toothpaste company can educate the public about which ingredients your teeth need to stay healthy. They can share the fact that most dentists recommend a certain type of toothpaste, and if they have a good product, this education will create more customers for them, while at the same time increasing the public good. And this propaganda can be spread not just through advertising, but also through dental clinics, schools, and so on. Bernays mentions two different ways to do propaganda. The first way is continuous interpretation. The second way is high spotting. Here's how he explains them. Quote, "Continuous interpretation is achieved by trying to control every approach to the public mind in such a manner that the public receives the desired impression, often without being conscious of it. High spotting, on the other hand, vividly seizes the attention of the public and fixes it upon some detail or aspect which is typical of the entire enterprise. When a real estate corporation, which is erecting a tall office building, makes it 10 feet taller than the highest skyscraper in existence, that is dramatization." End quote. So continuous interpretation is about trying to control every piece of news the public receives about your company, and high spotting is about trying to make people focus on one dramatic detail. Here's another example of high spotting. BlendTec makes a very powerful blender, and to highlight the strength and quality of their product, they created a series of YouTube videos called Will It Blend? In these videos, they blend everything from iPhones to golf balls in their blender. People watch the videos out of amusement or curiosity, but they leave with an unconscious impression that BlendTec makes powerful products. After all, they can blend anything, and the proof is in the results. Since launching this video series, their videos have received millions of views, and more importantly, sales have gone up 700%. I go into more detail about the BlendTec success story in my note on the book Contagious. So that's one way to spread a positive image of your company and your product. Find one thing that's really good about it, then create a dramatic demonstration of that feature that makes people focus on it. Now let's talk about selling your business values. Public relations is not just about selling a product. It's also about selling your business values to potential customers. With hundreds of choices at the store today, customers are becoming more and more discriminative. They don't just want to buy a quality product, they want to do business with ethical companies who share their values. A business today must also sell itself to the public and all the things it stands for. That's why you now see so many big brands talking about respecting their workers, being environmentally friendly, and giving back to the community by sponsoring charities and events. A few years ago, Nike had a scandal that exposed the bad conditions at some of their factories. People protested, and journalists wrote bad articles about Nike, and their sales dipped because most people don't want to be associated with a company that uses sweatshops. But the scandal had a positive outcome. It caused Nike to make changes to improve the conditions in many of their factories. And this just goes to show how important your business reputation is. To learn more about the Nike success story, see my note on the book Shoe Dog, which is written by the founder of Nike. Now let's continue to the next great idea, which is number 4, to influence someone, find their leader. 300 years ago, communities were local and geographic. People in a village talked to each other to exchange ideas, and the leader of the community might have been the local priest. Today, information, ideas, and opinions can be exchanged instantly over any distance. This means people can be part of the same group, even if they've never met. Also, one person may belong to many overlapping groups. He may belong to a political organization, a religious organization, a professional organization related to his career. His groups can also include his important hobbies and interests. So to create effective propaganda, you need to think of society not only as individuals or a big mass of people, you have to see it as a collection of overlapping groups. Each individual is a loyal member and follower in a few social groups. Here's a quote. "This invisible intertwining structure of groupings and associations is the mechanism by which democracy has organized its group mind and simplified its mass thinking." End quote. When you understand the motivations, feelings, and values of one member of a social group, then you will better understand every member of the group. You will know where their sensitive spots and hot buttons are. You will also know who their leader is. Each social group has a leader at the top. Two psychologists called Trotter and Laban found that when people are in a group, their first impulse is to follow the example of a trusted leader. Here's a quote. "If you can influence the leaders, either with or without their conscious cooperation, you automatically influence the group which they sway." End quote. For example, Oprah Winfrey created a talk show that became extremely popular, mostly with women. She has tens of millions of loyal followers who watch her show daily and subscribe to her magazine. It's a social group that she has tremendous influence over. Oprah also has a book club. Any book she selects for her book club is guaranteed to become a bestseller. All her fans will buy the book based on her recommendation. There are some social media experts or gurus out there who talk about this as if it's a new idea. They call it influencer marketing, which is about finding people who have large YouTube channels or Instagram followings and paying them to use your product. If the influencer uses a certain product, then their followers will often use it too. Edward Bernays understood this almost 100 years ago. He called it the new salesmanship. He said selling is not about convincing people your product is the best. It's about finding out who already influences the group you want to reach, then getting that leader to use or recommend your product. For example, if you want to sell more bacon, don't try to convince people that bacon is good to eat. Instead, ask yourself, who already influences the eating habits of people? And you probably think of doctors. So the real challenge is, how can you get doctors to publicly recommend eating bacon? This is the new salesmanship. And now let's talk about great idea number 5, how can propaganda be spread? Most of us probably think of those World War II posters when we hear the word propaganda. But Bernays points out that any form of communication can be used for propaganda. Here's a quote. "There is no means of human communication which may not also be a means of deliberate propaganda, because propaganda is simply the establishing of reciprocal understanding between an individual and a group." End quote. 100 years ago, the best place to spread propaganda was in a public meeting. Everyone in the local community would show up to these meetings. But once the car, radio, and newspaper became popular, these meetings became much less effective because people didn't want to show up anymore. They would rather get their news through the radio or newspaper. Of course, the church priest and university professor still have a platform to spread their ideas face to face. Magazines also are very effective because their whole purpose is to promote some idea, whether that's health, men's fashion, or some kind of philosophy. Magazines can deliberately select only material that promotes a specific idea. Bernays also says movies are incredibly effective. Here's a quote. "The American motion picture is the greatest unconscious carrier of propaganda in the world today. It is a great distributor for ideas and opinions. The motion picture can standardize the ideas and habits of a nation. Because pictures are made to meet market demands, they reflect, emphasize, and even exaggerate broad popular tendencies rather than stimulate new ideas and opinions." End quote. Movies usually have a hero. A hero is somebody people admire and unconsciously follow. If that hero is from American culture, then those cultural patterns will spread because of movies. Now let's put our focus back to business with the next great idea, number 6, using propaganda to beat your competition. 100 years ago, it was easy for a product to get national recognition. A squad of traveling salesmen just needed to convince a few retailers to display the product on store shelves, which wasn't too difficult. There just wasn't all the advertising and competition we have today. Today, if any new product wants to get recognition, it's an uphill battle. Here's a quote. "To make customers is the new problem. One must understand not only his own business, the manufacturer of a particular product, but also the structure, the personality, the prejudices of a potentially universal public." End quote. Today, a business doesn't just need to get a product on store shelves, it needs to convince people to choose the product instead of a dozen competitors. So how can you make people desire your product more than your competitor's product? That's the real challenge. One way to increase demand is by making your product cheaper, but that can soon make your profit margins razor thin and even put you out of business. Bernays says a better way is to build aesthetics, style, or fashion into your product. Small differences in a product become very important if it is seen as a matter of style. A small difference in the cut or color of a dress can determine if it will sell well this year. If a popular rapper wears a hat of a certain style, that hat may well sell out in stores. So building style or beauty into your products will help them stand out from the competition. And propaganda can help people understand what is and is not beautiful. That's exactly what fashion critics or taste leaders do. They sort of teach people what is stylish and fashionable. If you want a specific example, then look at Apple. They didn't create more powerful computers or cheaper phones. They created devices that are beautiful to look at and hold. These aesthetic qualities of their products set them apart from the competition. Steve Jobs created a brand that makes people feel creative and modern and different. After all, Apple's slogan is "Think Different." Here's another quote. "A thing may be desired not for its intrinsic worth or usefulness, but because someone has unconsciously come to see in it a symbol of something else, the desire for which he is ashamed to admit to himself." End quote. And I'm thinking of some really expensive sports cars or large mansions also when reading that quote. And now this is a good time for us to reach the conclusion. We've covered a lot of deep information in this entrepreneur note, information you really can't learn anywhere else because Edward Bernays was the father of public relations, and he was alive during the time modern propaganda was born, and he has carefully studied what makes some propaganda effective and other advertising not effective. We've talked about how democracies have an invisible government. The real people in power are the ones who can make the public accept their ideas. We also talked about how you can spread good ideas about your public, and we talked about what channels of communication can be used to spread your messages. We talked about how people follow leaders, so if you want to influence some social group, then find their leader. Today, this is often called influencer marketing. We talked about how to spread ideas about style and then beat your competitors through aesthetics instead of trying to sell the cheapest product. We talked about how people want to do business with ethical companies that share their values. Finally, we talked about how propaganda does not have to be evil. Any movement for social progress or education must educate people somehow and therefore use a type of propaganda. If you enjoyed this note, then I know you'll also enjoy my note on the book Contagious. That book is a modern study of why some ideas become contagious and spread. It's written by two top professors, and I really recommend you check it out next. You can go to entrepreneurnotes.com/contagious, and I'll see you in the next note.